Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 199 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of volleyball tonight, as last night we had the annual Jag Hawk Showdown, and it turned out to be quite a match. We'll have a coach and a player from both teams on here in just a little bit. But first, I want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to pass along my condolences to the family of Jason Larson. He was a vice president at Gershman Mortgage, the title sponsor for Ankeny Fanatic. And Jason has been a big supporter of our website ever since we launched back on January 1st, 2018. Sadly, Jason passed away on Sunday at the age of 47, and he will be missed by so many people. I got to know Jason a little better a few years ago when his daughter, Corinna, was the setter for the Centennial volleyball team. And he was a fun guy to have a beer with, which we did a couple of times. I tried a few times to get him to come on the podcast, but I was never able to win that battle. I thought eventually I'd be able to wear him down, but sadly now we will never get that opportunity. Again, I want to express my sympathy to the Larson family. There will be a visitation on Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Memorial Services of Iowa, and a memorial service will also be held at the funeral home on Friday at 10 a.m. Rest in peace, Jason. I also want to send my best wishes to Greg Lage and his family. As many of our listeners are probably aware, Greg was involved in a serious bicycle accident over the weekend. He was wearing a helmet, but he suffered a laceration under his helmet and was knocked unconscious. Doctors later removed a small blood clot, and Greg also has a broken collarbone. He remains in critical condition in the ICU at Mercy Hospital as the doctors are waiting to do an MRI to assess the extent of his brain injury. Now, of course, Greg is a beloved teacher and coach at Ankeny High School. He's an assistant coach for the boys' soccer team. I don't know Greg very well, but I am an avid biker, and I've been fortunate to never have any serious accidents, although I know a few people now who have been seriously hurt while riding. I know a lot of people around Ankeny are praying for Greg, and I also want to wish him a speedy recovery. His wife, Mindy, has created a Caring Bridge page where friends of Greg can get updates on his condition and also donate to a fund to show their support. I know Greg has got a long road ahead of him, but I hope he can eventually get back to doing the things that he loves to do, teaching, coaching, biking, and listening to music. I'd love to have him on the podcast sometime to talk about his accident and his recovery. Get well soon, Greg. All right, my first guest tonight is the first-year head coach of the Ankeny volleyball team. Last night, she guided the second-ranked Hawkettes to a four-set victory over number five Ankeny Centennial in a pink-out match on their home court. Ankeny improved to 26-4 overall and is now 6-0 in the CIML Conference. Moving closer to the league title, she is Dani Cahoot Lynch. Dani, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. It was a heck of a match that I thought for a long time could have gone either way. Your team was obviously challenged by a very good Centennial squad, but you had to be happy with the way your girls responded.
Yeah, I mean, anytime we step foot on the court against a top 10 team in the state, like, you know it's going to be a battle. And, you know, you add that inner city rivalry and, you know, just things get a little bit hyped up. And it was my first time in that Hawk Jag situation, and it was fun. The atmosphere was great. The team was ready to rock and roll, and it was just, yeah, I could not be more pleased with how things ended and how my girls played.
Well, of course, you guys beat the Jaguars in the Dallas Center Grimes Invitational on August 23rd, but that was, you know, obviously a different match and so many weeks ago that both teams have certainly improved a lot since then. Could you take much away from that match, or did you almost feel like you were preparing for a different opponent last night?
I think totally preparing for a different opponent. I mean, we had that under our belt of, you know, playing. That was our first game of the season, and so getting that out of the way. But, yeah, they're a different team. We're a different team. I mean, as short as our season is, you grow and develop every single week. And so, yeah, I didn't even pay attention really to that first time that we played, and, you know, just seeing who's hot for them right now and stats and some film. And, you know, their middle is coming in a little hotter and a little faster than she was the first time we played them, and, you know, running some different things, but they're still big humans and can put the ball away. So we just wanted to take care of business, and I feel we did a good job.
Well, the first set was back and forth for a while. There were 7 ties and 5 lead changes before you guys eventually pulled away, and you closed out a 25-19 set on a kill by Myra Carlson. Mm-hmm. Tanith Roush had 4 of her 16 kills in that set, and she seems to, you know, come up with the crucial kills, you know, all night long. And along with Eowyn Schrader, who had 12 kills, you know, Tanith really gives you a devastating righty-lefty hitting combination, doesn't she?
Yeah, that lefty on the right side. I mean, I even told her, I was like, I've never had one of you before. This is fun, yeah? And just having that different look on the right side, and she gets up, and Jessa does a nice job of distributing the ball. I mean, you talked about 3 different hitters, and that takes balance, right? And so making sure that everyone's available. But yeah, Tanith does a nice job of doing what she needs to do and putting the ball away, and she takes no prisoners, and she goes up and no mercy, and there you go.
Well, then in the second set, you guys built a 13-8 lead before Centennial answered with a 10-1 run, and they went on to win the set 25-21. And the Jaguars closed out that set on a kill from Jaden Pratt in the middle, and she went on to lead her team with 10 kills. And she was going pretty strong during that part of the match. And when she gets on a roll like that, you know, she's pretty tough to stop, isn't she?
Yeah, she catches fire, and she's fast and furious, and she's quick in the middle. And, you know, when you establish a middle, it's kind of tough to defend. And she did a really nice job.
Well, the Jaguars then carried over that momentum into the third set as they jumped out to a 5-1 lead. And it was about that time that Sydney Otto told me last night that Jessa Wallace gathered the teammates in a circle and told them that your team needed to focus on playing together instead of as individuals. You know, and that was really instrumental in turning the tide back in your favor. So did you ask Jessa to say something to the team, or she kind of taken on that role on her own?
So this is like the second time I've heard of a Jessa pep talk. And I told her today, I was like, how do I get one? Like, what do I need to do to get one of these pep talks? No, Jessa's coming to her own, and she's done a really nice job. And, you know, being that 6 rotation setter running that 5-1, you know, you need to step up and like tell your teammates, hey, when it's time to get to business in a, you know, kind, positive manner and like be assertive. And she's taken that on all by herself. I like to call her, you know, my duck. We're calm, cool, and collected up top, and we might be running our feet around all over the place like ducks do, kind of thing. So I'm pretty proud of her for taking that upon herself and, you know, getting the job done and calming her teammates down and getting to work.
Well, Tanith had back-to-back kills to spark a 9-1 run that gave your team the lead for good in that set. And then Eowyn later had a kill to close out the set 25-17. Did you kind of feel like you guys had weathered the storm at that point?
I mean, in that third set, we knew we still had one more to go, right? But we wanted to finish, you know, we kind of tell our kids, push to 30, like pretend we play to 30 because you want to push through that finish line kind of thing. And, you know, I think that kind of pushed through into the fourth set where we were up a little bit, and then what was it, 23-18 or 19, and then they came up,
they came
and I was
back.
Like, we got to push. It does not go to 23. We have to keep pushing. So, we really encourage our girls taking one point at a time and focus on their skill and what they're doing at that moment. Don't focus on the result and see where. I think they do a good job of focusing in on that and seeing where it takes them.
Well, yeah, that fourth set started out as another back-and-forth battle. There were 7 ties before Tanith pounded another kill, and that gave your team the lead for good at 11-10. And like you mentioned, you guys built a 23-17 lead, but then Centennial did answer with 5 in a row. They got a couple of aces from Kendra Kasperbauer, and that closed it to 23-22. You called a timeout there, and you obviously were getting a little worried. I mean, if you don't close it out there, I mean, obviously they have the momentum going to 5.
Right, yeah, you have to have those point stoppers, and we didn't want to have, like you said, they went on some big runs earlier on in the game, and we just wanted to, you know, not let that happen, calm ourselves down and do what we need to, drop something and see what they had on the other side of the net and just figure things out on our side. But it had to start with that pass.
Well, Tanith came through with another kill to stop the run, and then Parker Olson followed with a kill to close it out for you guys. It was 25-22, and that was the 8th straight win for your team. That puts you in great position in the conference race. Mm-hmm. With a win tomorrow at number 11 Urbandale, you can clinch at least a tie for the league title. And I don't know how much of an emphasis you put on winning the conference championship, but, you know, to come in here in your first year and to win the new league with all of the great teams that are in it, you know, mm-hmm. That'd be a heck of an accomplishment, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we don't really talk about that in our gym. Like I said, we take one step at a time. I mean, Jess is sitting right there. I don't talk about that in the gym. We don't talk about that in the gym. We focus on, I mean, the CIML conference is, it's super tough. It's the toughest conference I feel in the state. And so to get in there, and you just know that every single game that you play, it matters. And, you know, whether that's on the weekend at a tournament or, you know, during the week, during conference, you have to show up and you have to be able to put things together as a team.
Well, after the match at Urbandale, you guys will play in the Bettendorf Invitational on Saturday. And I don't know if you've looked that far ahead yet, but will you see some good teams?
Oh, this week is Cuckoo Bananas. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we'll see Bettendorf, we'll see Davenport North, and then we'll see Rock Island. And, you know, I don't know a lot about these teams off the top of my head, just because this week is crazy with playing the Jags yesterday, and then we play Urbandale. And so, I mean, as much as I preach to my kids, be where your feet are, you know, I have to do that too. You know, just plan ahead as much as I can, but then, you know, want to, you know, focus on what's in front of us when it's in front of us.
Well, you'll then close out the regular season next Tuesday at Valley before mm-hmm. turning your attention to the postseason. And I believe you guys will be hosting a regional semifinal on October 20th, but the regional pairings haven't come out yet. Do you think those are going to be released this week?
They should be. You know, they always release the rankings on Thursday, so hopefully that will, you know, come out when it's supposed to, and we'll just, you know, we'll hurry up and wait. And just wait for those suckers to come out. Yeah, so I think we put ourselves in a good position, you know, just thinking of finals in school, right? We took some good tests and we did a really good job. So hopefully we finish the final in a good position where we get to tell mom and dad we got an A+ and we can put ourselves in a good position moving forward.
Well, yeah, you have to like the way your team is playing heading into the postseason. You've already played many of the best teams in the state.
Yeah. And
you've won two of your three matchups against number one Iowa City Liberty. You've split four matches against number four Dowling Catholic. I mean, do you feel like your team has as good of a chance, you know, as anyone to win the Class 5A title?
Yeah, for sure. We have a great resume and moving forward. But like I said, everyone wants it. Everyone's hungry. Everyone is ready to beat up on each other. And they're working hard, right? So everyone, you have to be ready to play. And if nerves come into play or like you don't know what to do, you have to be calm, you have an answer, and hopefully we can pull it together and do some really good work moving forward here in the next couple of weeks.
What's going to be the key for this team to reach its potential? And do you think this team has another level that it can get to?
Yeah, just staying together. Like that's really what we're going to focus on here is just playing together, playing as one, and just bringing the joy and bringing fun, because that's why they're here. That's why they're playing these big games, and that's why they're playing volleyball here at Ankeny, is to just bring the joy, bring the fun, and they have a lot of skill to back it up. So I'm excited for these girls, and you know, this is the only time that they're going to have this team in this year, in this moment. So, you know, honoring that, and I think they're going to do a good job.
Well, of course, the state tournament will be held at a new venue this year, the Extreme Arena in Coralville. Have you ever been there, and do you think it's going to be a good
site?
I have never.
I'm excited. Yeah. You know, let's new, exciting things. First year coach here at Ankeny and get to maybe go to the Extreme Center. I think that's pretty cool. You know, just something different than Cedar Rapids. And Cedar Rapids did a nice job, but it's just a different venue, and I think it'll be fun for everyone because we get to experience something new.
Well, it takes 20 miles off the drive, so that's good.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Danny, thanks a lot for coming tonight. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior setter for the Hawkettes. She had 42 assists in last night's win and currently ranks second in the entire state with 789 assists. She also had 10 digs and 3 kills in last night's match, and she is committed to play for William Jewell next year. She is Jessa Wallace. Jessa, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You know, how much confidence do you have going into last night's match, considering that you guys had defeated Centennial earlier this season?
Well, playing Centennial every year, I think that they come in and they play us hard. And I think our team has a lot of confidence, and we practice really hard in practice, and we just have a lot of discipline. And I feel like if we just have fun and we just play as a team, we can pull out the win at the end of the match. The game was really fun last night. I think we all just played as a team and just put it away. So
it was a pretty cool atmosphere for that big crowd, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
Now, did the Jaguars make very many strategic changes since that first match, or were they just a better version maybe of the team that you saw back in August?
No, they definitely did. I think they utilized their middles a lot, and they had a fast offense, a faster one since August, which caught us off guard a bunch. But I think that they did pretty good last night, and I think we all just had a blast playing them, so.
Well, I talked to you last night after the match about how you gathered the team and delivered a message to them when the match started to slip away from you guys. So is that a role that you've been, you know, filling for the team all year, kind of a vocal leader?
I've been trying to, yes. I think all of our teammates can pick anyone up at any matter of time. I've just been trying to step in into that setter leader and being vocal. I kind of just think out loud and just try and help the team calm down and just play their game. It doesn't matter who's on the other side of the net. It doesn't matter what the score is. It's kind of just like 6-on-6 and a net and a ball, what coach says every day in practice. Just have fun. And if we don't have fun, then we just kind of get like frazzled up and like nervous and we think too much about it. But I feel like once we play as a team, we just have a blast. So,
well, as the setter, you obviously direct the offense. So, I mean, it's kind of a natural leadership position, isn't it?
Yes, very.
Well, maybe you guys kind of eventually wore Centennial down with your depth. I talked with Coach about what a potent duo Aowen and Tanith have become, but you had two other players with double-digit kills last night. Parker Olsen and Myra Carlson each had 10 kills. You know, just having so many different hitters that you can go to, does that make your job easier?
Yes, I feel like I can run a balanced offense more, and I trust all my hitters. I can give them any of the ball, and they can just put it away. Parker and Myra are very, very strong hitters, and they're very smart. I play with Parker for club volleyball at PBA, and me and her already have a really good connection. Myra's very versatile, so I can just give her the ball and she'll put it away.
Well, with your height, Jess, I'm sure you could be a very effective hitter as well since you're 6 feet tall and you have contributed 29 kills this season. You do a nice job of dumping the ball over the net when the opportunity arises. So were you ever a hitter when you were younger, or have you always been a setter?
I've actually been all positions. I've been outside, middle, and right side. I was very tall when I was younger. I wanted to be a setter really bad my first year at club, but they said no because there was shorter setters, and they were just like, I need you in front row. Once I transitioned into a setter, it was my first year at IPVA. I was probably like 13. I actually didn't really like being a setter at first because I thought it was too hard. I kind of wanted to give up and just go back to middle because that's all I knew, really. And so once I transitioned to a setter, people would ask me what position I was, and they'd be really shocked and would just laugh at me because they thought I was kidding.
Uh-huh.
But after I grew and started practicing and doing private lessons with coaches, and 2 years ago, Fiona Schrader, she actually helped me out with some lessons, and I actually started loving my position, and I wouldn't know what to do now if I wasn't a setter.
Well, yeah, Fiona's a good person to learn from, for sure. Well, you have to be one of the tallest setters in the state. Do you know of any setters that are taller than you?
Not that I know of, actually. Maybe Fiona. That's probably the only person I know, or like...
Sure.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Well, your height also comes in handy on defense, as you've recorded 29 blocks as well. You know, I'm sure you see your height as an advantage on the court, don't you?
I do. It's actually pretty fun. At the front row, I can be aggressive. I can just trick the other hitters in the front row. I mean, it's very fun.
Well, looking ahead to the postseason, you know, where do you think this team still needs to get better in order to achieve all of its goals?
I mean, just practicing and just learning how to keep that momentum, even if they do get a run, if the other team, I feel like... Just having fun. I feel like if our team gets down, then we just lose all of our momentum. I feel like we just need to keep having that momentum build up. And if we do that, I feel like we'll bring home another state title.
Well, you're one of the players who was able to gain some experience playing at the state tournament last year. And I know this year's tournament, we played at a new venue, and it remains to be seen, you know, what the atmosphere there is going to be like. But do you think that experience that some of you guys gained last year will be helpful if you can get back there?
Yeah, I feel like everyone has nerves, and I feel like once we get there, I mean, it's going to be a new experience for everyone. But after, like, the first couple of balls, I feel like once we start playing and just getting, like, used to that atmosphere there, we'll do amazing. We don't have to worry about anyone else or, like, the people on the other side of the court. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, we talked with Coach about some of the other top teams that you've played this season, like Iowa City, Liberty, and Dowling. And I'm sure you feel like your team has a good chance to win state if you can get there. But, you know, of those other top teams, is there one team that maybe stands out as the biggest threat to come out on top if you guys don't win it?
Well, we played Liberty and Dowling. We beat them. They beat us. I mean, so those are some teams that we have to worry about. We have Pleasant Valley that we haven't seen. Last year, they beat us in the semifinals. So, I mean, we just got to be worried for them. I feel like... at state, we're going to have to worry about any other team that's there because I know that they're going to push hard and want to win the state title as much as we do. But we just got to play our game and just know that those teams are there, that they are wanting to beat us as much as we want to beat them. So we just got to be ready for anything.
Well, I know the Centennial girls would love to have another shot at you guys. And if that's a team that gets there, I mean, you couldn't overlook them either, could you?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, it's always a fun game no matter who it is. Centennial's a really good team. But I feel like if we just... I know, like I said this multiple times, but just play together. I feel like we can just have a really good outcome for state and bring home another state title for this season.
All right, Jess. Well, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the longtime head coach of the Centennial volleyball team, and she has guided the fifth-ranked Jaguars to a 21-8 record this season, including a 4-2 mark in the CIML Conference. She is Jessica Reinhardt. Jessica, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, that was a heck of a match last night. Not the outcome you wanted, obviously, but your team certainly played Ankeny tougher than you did back in August. You know, do you think it showed how much your team has grown since then?
I do. I think we've had a lot of growth in the last 3 weeks, and playing them more competitively, obviously, is a good step.
Well, I know you felt like your team didn't play its best in that first matchup against Ankeny. So did you feel like going into the match last night that you just needed to play better in order to be successful?
Yes, and I still didn't think we played our best last night, but I thought we played better. And I still think there are areas that we can improve on. But, yeah, I thought we competed better last night than we did the first time we played them.
Did you make very many tactical changes?
A little bit. We had more film. We had no film on them the first time we played them. So that was just kind of out of the chute.
Sure.
And this one we had film, we were able to, you know, do some specific things. There were some specific things we were trying to do, and I do think that helped, for sure.
Well, you guys came out and definitely went toe-to-toe with the Hawkettes. There were 7 ties and 5 lead changes in the first set before Ankeny eventually pulled away for the 25-19 win. And then in the second set, you guys went on a 10-1 run to erase a 13-8 deficit, and you went on to win the set 25-21 on a kill by Jaden Pratt. You know, you had to like the way your girls responded in that set.
For sure. I was proud in general of our fight. One thing we've been working on is getting down and just knowing that we can come back, you know, a couple points at a time. So I like the fact that we never died and that we kept fighting.
Well, that one of the big points in that set was when your setter, Reagan Angus, rose up and blocked a spike by Eowyn Schrader to give your team a 21-17 lead. Reagan told me afterwards that you guys kind of have an ongoing joke about her being 6'3". You know, but that play really seemed to spark the team, didn't it?
It did. I think anytime a setter blocks or gets a big block, typically, and especially when they're not like a gigantic setter, Reagan's undersized. And when she gets a big block, it fires everybody up.
Well, you guys carried that momentum into the third set as you jumped out to a 5-1 lead, and you seemed to have Ankeny on its heels a little bit, but then Tanith Roush came up with a couple of kills, and the Hawkettes went on a 9-1 run, and they never trailed again in that set. You know, once they got rolling, they were pretty hard to stop, weren't they?
Yeah. Volleyball kind of is a game of momentum, and it's hard to get that back when you lose it. Tanith Roush, she was hard to defend last night. She did a good job.
Well, she ended up with 16 kills, and Schrader added 12. And I know Ankeny has some other, you know, pretty good weapons as well, but that's a pretty formidable duo, isn't it?
Yeah, they're strong hitters, and they're able to hit around a block. So even when you line up your block correctly, they're still hard to defend. So they did a nice job last night.
Well, it was another kill by Roush that broke a 10-10 tie in the fourth set, and then Ankeny went on to close out the match with a 25-22 win. Although you guys had a late run that made things interesting, Kendra Kasperbauer served 4 straight points and had a couple of aces that closed the gap to 23-22. You guys, you just couldn't get over that hump, though, could you?
I know. I thought we had it. We even had a perfect pass, and I was like, that's it. We were going to tie it, but didn't quite get it done.
Well, I thought Kendra gave you guys a spark there at the end. And then Hannah Kurth was another player that came off the bench in the third set and had a couple of kills for you. And she always seems to provide some instant offense whenever she comes in, doesn't she?
She does. Hannah gives us offense. She has lots of shots. And we know she's always ready to give us that spark.
Well, Pratt led the way for your team with 10 kills, but it was certainly a balanced attack. Delaney Miller had 9 kills. Anna Sash chipped in 7. Jada Schmidt had 6. And Kasperbauer added 5. Angus dished out 29 assists. But you guys were out hit by a 267-144 margin. So you probably just needed to be a little more efficient with your hitting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. We've worked on it. We worked on it tonight in practice. We have to run a balanced attack to be successful. So we just want to keep increasing that hitting efficiency as we go along.
Well, you guys will host Southeast Polk on Thursday, and then you'll play in the Westside Invitational on Saturday at Cedar Rapids Jefferson. Now, will you see some good teams over there at Cedar Rapids?
We will. There's lots of top fives in all the classes. So that's kind of a fun tournament and good preparation for state. And you see a lot of teams that you haven't faced all year. So that adds the element of fun.
Sure.
Then it's good competition, which is good preparation. So it's a tournament that we enjoy, and it's the girls' last one. It's our seniors' last one. The hope is you go down there and you continue to get better and see new teams.
Well, then you'll close out the regular season next Tuesday by hosting Milwaukee Northwest, another good team, before turning your attention to the postseason. And I believe you guys will be hosting a regional semifinal on October 20th, but the regional pairings haven't come out yet. But it sounds like maybe those are coming out later this week. Is that right?
Friday
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you have to like the way your team is playing, you know, heading into the postseason. You've already played many of the best teams in the state, and you've split a pair of meetings against number 4, Dowling Catholic. You played number 2, Pleasant Valley Tough, before losing in 3 sets at the Centennial Invitational in August. And it looks like this year's, you know, state tournament could be pretty wide open, don't you think?
Yeah, I think 5A is anybody's game, and we've said that even from preseason on, because we see a lot of these teams, but it will, you know, depend kind of who catches fire, who's playing well at the end of the season, and who handles pressure down at state. But I really think, you know, whoever goes down there and is playing their best ball has a shot at winning it.
What's going to be the key for your team to reach its potential? And do you think this team has another level that it can get to?
We do. And we've seen it, and they've seen it. It's just maintaining it and staying there. But we do think if we continue to push in practice, and postseason is where you can create a lot of gains because you have more practice time than you do competition. So you can really put some focus in there. So I believe that we can, you know, we have another level we can reach. They're hungry to reach it, and we just got to keep fighting every single day to get a little bit better.
Now, the state tournament will be held at a new venue this year, the Extreme Arena in Coralville. Now, have you ever been there, and do you think it'll be a good site for the tournament?
I have not been there. I've seen pictures. I'm kind of excited for the change. We were ready for some new mojo down at state, and mm-hmm. so... I think the state took a lot of time to think about where it was going to be. They toured, they made sure that it was going to be a good setup. And the state always does such a phenomenal job of making an event. So I'm confident it's going to be good. You never know quite what you're getting into until you're there. But I'm excited, hopefully, for the opportunity to check it out.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's going to be fun. I think with the parity and 5A, like you mentioned, I think it's just going to be a great tournament. So, well, hey, Jess, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior libero for the Jaguars. She had 21 digs in last night's match and now leads the team with 197 digs. She is committed to play for the University of Dubuque next year. She is Taylor Beckin. Taylor, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I thought you guys played a heck of a match last night. You know, do you think you can take some positives away from the match even though you lost?
Yeah, just through watching film, there's a lot of positives to take away. We definitely have things to work on, but overall I thought it was a good performance.
Well, like we talked about with Coach, you guys played them on even terms for much of the night, but anything just has so many weapons that they can go to, and you really can't defend them all, can you?
Yeah, it's hard, but I think that we also have a lot of weapons too, so it'd be hard to defend us too.
Well, after your team won the second set and then took a 5-1 lead in the third set, you know, you had to be feeling pretty confident. Do you think Ankeny made some changes to help them turn things around, or did they just raise their level of play a little bit?
I think they did both. They definitely stepped up their level of play. They got some huge kills, which really helped their momentum. And they just got some, you know, monumental stops.
Well, you guys did have a late comeback in set 4. You closed the gap to 23-22 before the Hawkettes scored the next 2 points to close out the match. You know, did you think you were going to pull it out there for a bit?
Yeah. I mean, I go into every set thinking that we're going to take it, but definitely at the end, that final push felt pretty good.
Well, we talked earlier about Reagan's big block against AO and Schrader, and that takes a lot of courage to go up there and try to block someone who hits the ball that hard. You know, but even playing in the back row where you do those hits from AO and are still coming at you pretty fast. Is she one of the hardest hitters you've played against this year?
Yeah, she might be. She's good, but there's a lot of good hitters in our 5A.
Well, Tanith Roush is another one, and she certainly gives Ankeny a nice compliment to Schrader. And of course, she is a left-handed hitter. So as a lefty, does her ball come at you a little differently?
Yeah, a little bit differently. It's harder for her to hit line. Her like hardest shot is cross. Mm-hmm. But when she does hit line, she'll rip it.
Well, I thought your team showed a lot of signs of growth last night, but obviously, you know, you still aren't where you want to or need to be in order to reach all of your goals. Looking ahead to the postseason, where do you think this team still needs to get better in order to reach its potential?
I think just cleaning up the small things. Everyone needs to be more disciplined, and everyone just needs to do their job. It takes all 6 of us to win games, so, yeah.
Well, you're one of the players who was able to gain some experience playing at the state tournament last year. And I know this year's tournament will be played at a new venue, and it's hard to know what the atmosphere is going to be like. But do you think the experience that some of you guys, you know, gained last year will be helpful if you can get back there?
Yeah, definitely. And even the atmosphere from last night, it really gives you a taste of what state is going to be like. And I think we're lucky because we're one of the teams that gets to experience that before we get down to state.
We talked about this with Coach that, you know, this year's tournament could be pretty wide open because many of the top teams have taken turns beating each other. You know, do you feel like if you guys get there that, you know, you'd have as good of a chance to win it as anybody?
Yeah, I think anyone who goes is going to have a great shot, and it just depends on who shows up to play.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck the rest of the year, and thanks for coming in tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny volleyball coach Danny Cahoot Lynch and Jessa Wallace. And from Ankeny Centennial, we had coach Jessica Reinhart and Taylor Becken. I appreciate the time from all of those folks tonight. I know it's been a busy week for all of them. And I posted a little note on our Facebook page the other day. I'm going to be taking a few days off to head out to Ohio for a family wedding. So we'll have probably some reduced and delayed coverage of some of the high school sports here over the next few days. But just wanted to make sure that people were aware of that so that they wouldn't be looking for some stories in a timely manner. We won't have them up quite as fast as we normally do. So bear with us on that. But we will have coverage of everything going on here over the next few days. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.